All right, what's up, everybody? I am here today doing a case study with Miranda and Lee Semmons. Miranda and Lee joined our Shopify implementation program about 8 weeks ago, and I'm bringing them on because they're a good story. They had a store like many people we talked to, but it wasn't really doing anything. It wasn't really making sales, and they really wanted to come in and work with our team to just find products, get momentum. And what's really good about their story, we're gonna talk about it in just a moment, is they had some challenges where their ads were doing like $1,000 a day, and then they just got shut down. Something Facebook didn't like about the ad, but we're gonna talk about how they bounced back from that. But before we get into that, why don't you guys just quickly tell us a bit about yourselves and maybe what you were doing right before you got into e-commerce?
Well, we still work in our full-time jobs. I'm a healthcare professional.
And I'm a furniture planner.
And we came across, you know, a video on making money online a couple months ago and thought it'd be really nice. Obviously, I've got a Canadian accent. We live in Australia. It'd be nice to travel around and actually spend some more time with family. So to have some more freedom that way, that's what got us interested in the first place.
Cool. I want to stop where you guys are going, because if people have been following me for a while, they know that the phrase make money online, I'm not a fan of it because I think there's a misconception with how others talk about that. So with the way you said it, I know what you mean by it, but like I tell our audience all the time, it's silly now, you know, like make money online. Obviously it's a real business. But you saw our case study video, right, about the Shopify store. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you guys saw that, but wait, so that was the introduction you guys had to what e-commerce was?
No, it wasn't that. It was okay. A few months earlier, another big personality in the e-com business. And then, so we set up the Shopify store. We had become pretty much career YouTube video watchers for a couple of months.
It'll sound so easy to start with.
Yeah.
they make it sound easy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we watched a whole lot of videos, set up the store, thought everything was just going to, you know, come flooding in.
So we're going to start.
That's what the make money online, that's what they want you to think. So
yeah.
I like that term, though, career YouTube watchers. So you guys watch tons of videos on e-commerce and set up your store and were like, hey, this is going to be easy. Where's the money starts flowing in, right?
Yeah. But it didn't.
It didn't
at
like
all.
That.
No. And so
I think cat jewelry's had its time.
Those cat necklaces don't work like they used to.
So subscribed to a lot of stuff, including one of your emails. I'm not even sure how I came across it initially, but yeah, we watched the case study and I liked that there wasn't a lot of hype. It didn't seem like you were really overselling everything. It was just like laying it out in a pretty natural way. Watched all the case study videos, like the other calls like ours, and yeah, just took it from there.
Got it. All right, so let's paint the picture for people. You guys had a store up. You realize this isn't quite as easy as we thought. Then you see our case study, our emails, and you decide, you know, hey, look, I'm gonna apply for this and try and work, you know, on a high level with our team. So you get on the call, and actually, let's touch on that for a second. You get on the call. Look, I mean, we're not gonna talk about the enrollment fee or anything, but it's scary, right, to put money into joining a coaching program, right? I mean, I do it, and it's a scary thing because you're not really sure what's going to happen. So what was kind of the mindset as you guys went through that process? Were y'all kind of on the fence, or did y'all talk about it beforehand?
Well,
yeah.
we knew we wanted coaching. We knew we wanted more than just like some webinars. We wanted to have some real one-on-one coaching. I've done coaching in my profession and know the value of it. So we had talked to a few other people and then talk to you guys.
But it is scary. You guys see straight up everything we saw. There's no real sales or anything like that. But still, you know, the upfront capital, you're still handing it over and you're unsure of what you're going to get out of it. So
But part of the mindset was we knew if we put some money into it, there's no going back. There's no like half-assing it. We're in.
I'm glad you said that, because that's the missing piece. So a lot of times people think that we just sell a coaching program, we're just out to make money, and we don't really care what happens. That's not true, else we wouldn't have like, you know, five coaches that are paid well to help you guys, right? So the thing is when you have a program that's I guess priced, I say it's priced fairly, but what most people would consider a higher ticket price, not only does it give me, our team, the resources to actually, the time and all that that's needed to actually get success for people, but you guys take it much more serious. You buy something for $97 or you watch a video on YouTube, it's kind of like, we've got jobs, we can, you know, but you put a decent amount of capital down and it's like, you know, I need to make this work. So that's a good mindset to have. So you guys talk it over, do you guys join? And then speaking of mindset, you do your first call with Lisa. That's when you do your kickoff call. And take people through, because we kind of have a structure where week one, you do your kickoff call and probably your store setup call as well. So for those wondering, if you already have a store and you say, why would I need a store setup call if I have a store? Well, we basically would revamp your entire store. You know, make sure you have the right apps, your pages are optimized, your store is optimized, because that can make the difference between no sales and a high converting store. So take people through like the first, let's say, 4 weeks of kind of what you accomplished like right when you got in.
So we started testing straight away. We watched the week one videos. Luckily, we had already booked a week's holiday that was just going to be at a beach house, you know, laying around doing nothing. So we had a whole week just to sit down and focus on this, which was such a blessing. And we had our store setup call with Byron, which was, he's such a gun. It was like watching this magician whiz through everything.
Just off his coat out of nowhere.
Yeah.
In like 2 hours, you go from like nothing to like this amazing store, right?
Yeah. Apps and you do all this stuff, giving us free apps and whatever.
And he's fun too. So that was, we had a fun call with him. And we had some calls with Tudor, you know, after not too long, and started, testing.
Okay. So and, go ahead.
I was going to say, so we were testing and then we thought we sort of hit it on the first product and it kind of didn't take off. We sat on it for a while testing others, and the product that started is what I call the banger. We sat on it for about a week because we just kind of thought the other one was going to go off. Well, I guess we just kind of hoped it was. I don't know why.
We were getting a lot of social engagement.
Yeah, I think that threw us
a bit. It was quite a novelty, but the sales weren't really coming through for it.
And then we had the first call with Jay, and he goes, nah, kill that product. It's not going to be your winner. This one is right here. We're like, okay. And it's just taken off from there.
So that clarity is, and we hear that a lot. So when you're doing this stuff on your own, and I tell people all the time, you can definitely do this stuff and figure it out over time on your own. But the speed of it, having somebody that you're sitting there running ads and you're like, you know, is this good? Is this bad? And then having somebody kind of come in your face and be like, turn this off, this is junk, you know, you're wasting your money. And it's like, okay, you know, so that's huge, right? And that's what we want to do, is not give you kind of wishy-washy, you know, but kind of be direct and here's what we think. So you guys come in, you do your kickoff call, you do your store setup call, you do an ad setup call. And you guys are fast movers. So your second product, I think you told me, got up to by week five or six, you're up to like $1,000 a day in sales.
Yeah, week four or five, I think it was. Yeah.
And that is not typical. So I don't want anybody out there watching to think that, you know, in 4 weeks, you're gonna be at $1,000 a day. Everybody comes in, I'll say this, everybody is gonna come in and make sales. If you come in and you follow along, you're gonna have to store up and making sales probably in 10 days or less. But to get it to $1,000 a day, if you think about, you know, starting a brand new business, if you think about what some entrepreneurs, what some business owners go through to start a business, but in, and then you're talking about 4 weeks, you get it up to 1,000 a day. What do you think, how do you think you guys were able to do that so quickly? Was it just you guys hit on a good product and then you got the help scaling, or was there something else?
Yeah, it was that. I think we, between us, we have a, like the whole skill set as well. You know, I'm good at certain things, Lee's good at certain things. And the two of us, obviously that's gonna, you know, make
but,
it.
But I would also say it's the difference between the two ad calls with Judah and Jay. The amount of information we got off the calls was unbelievable. And that just took us. I remember that we got off a call with Tudor, and he said, "Oh, Jeremy's told me what I'm going to tell you guys to do is just increase your price of this product."
He said, "This is going to sound crazy, but I would test putting the price up."
And we said, "Oh, okay. So how long do we give it until we have no sales and we put it back down?" And he said, "Okay, give it 3 or 4 days and see what happens." I think as soon as we got off the call and did it, we started getting. We got five times more sales.
Wow.
Immediately. And I don't think we even probably started scaling yet.
No, but that was like that night really boosted us. So yeah, that was so exciting.
And then it just went from there. And then I think next school was with Jay, and he told us how to scale. He's like, "All right, just do this, this, and this." And this is what I also say, we've followed the program to a T. Everything you guys have told us, we've followed it.
Yeah, and Lee's pretty ruthless with the ads. You know, he's the ads guy, and he's like, it's not meeting the metrics, cut it. Like, you're pretty ruthless.
Yeah, I think you gotta be, so.
Yeah.
So it's just
No, that's cool. So, I didn't realize, I forgot about that. So you guys, and that's, by the way, if you're watching, you just got kind of a, you know, I would consider a pretty good tip. So you guys had it selling, and all you increased the price based on the recommendation of one of our coaches, and sales actually increased.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to speculate on why, but a lot of times, mindset wise, sometimes people maybe don't feel like that the product is valuable if it's priced too low, and depending on what you're selling. So maybe when the price was a little bit higher, then they really felt like the value in it. And assuming the product is of good value, then what they think and what the product is matches, and then, you know, your sales kind of increase. So
yeah, not cheapening it.
Exactly. Yeah, if it's a good product, exactly. You know, they feel like, some people really feel like if they pay, you know, $8 or something, that it's going to be, in their mind, it's a cheap product. It's a mindset thing on their end, just like on our end. So yeah. You guys increase the price, sales increase. And then you hop on another call and you learn how to scale it up, and suddenly you're doing $1,000 a day, everything's going well, and then Facebook chimes in, right?
Facebook chimes in.
So what happened?
And it was pretty sudden. They just shut down all of our ads.
I was on the train on the way to work, and I was on the laptop and starting to check the ads again as normal. And then they've all got red dots next to them and said ads being disapproved. So I called up Miranda, I've got to work, and I called up Miranda and said, "We're going to swap the ad out right now. I don't know what's going on, but we're going to do this right now."
Mad scramble, because we had just like really built up that momentum. We had, now it doesn't seem like that many, but we had like 200 comments, 200 likes. We thought that was a whole lot of social engagement that we would be losing, but but it's our own fault. It was something that's in the guidelines that we hadn't read properly and hadn't noticed.
Yep.
So had to start up the ads again.
So then I think within probably a couple of days, it was starting to go back up again. And we started doing quite well.
And then Facebook chimed in again, right?
Almost exactly a week later.
We had a lot of discussion about this, because we were like, we don't want to blame Facebook. It's our own fault. We didn't read it properly. We're not within the guidelines. So
yeah. So then we hit $1,000 again. I think 2 days
with
running.
A brand new ad, no social proof. You started from scratch. You get it back up to 1,000, and then unfortunately it gets disapproved again.
Yeah. Is that 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday afternoon? I was about to go out, and next thing Facebook shut down the ads again. So we swapped it out again to another brand new ad, and we did really well that night. It kept going and it kept going. We're doing a lot of sales, and then
I still think it was the old ad though.
I don't know. Yeah. And then the next day, it kind of died down a bit. And then it started to pick up again a couple of days later, and then PayPal got in the way.
Yeah. Hot tip. As soon as PayPal goes over $1,000, they freeze it and make you verify yourself. So we didn't know that in advance, and suddenly our cash flow just was ground to a halt.
Yeah, that'll depend on the history of your account. So if you're using like a brand new fresh account and then all of a sudden there's like this flood of money, like $1,000 a day or whatever, PayPal is definitely going to be like, we want to know what's going on. You know, where's this money coming from? Because it's just, you go from zero to, you know, but if you have like an established account, even if you used it for other purposes, many times it won't happen. But if it does, it's simply PayPal making sure that, you know, number one, you're doing, you know, ethical business activity. And number two, that if something were to go wrong, that you guys have the funds, the resources available to refund people. So that's another tip we can give people is if you use PayPal and you're like trying to withdraw your money every day, don't do that. Because that's what scares them into thinking that you're not going to be responsible for your products. So
yeah.
I think it's good to leave funds in the account if you can, so that when like if you get refund requests and things like that, PayPal sees you've got money in there. So here's why I wanted to bring that up. A lot of times people would think, oh, I would just gloss over the fact that your ads got shut off twice in your PayPal account. Got right, because that's not the fun stuff. That's not what we want to talk about on a case study. But what I learned from my own mentors and what I like to translate over to you guys and to people in our program is that we've kind of identified, that I've identified from others and translated over, there's kind of three core things or traits that people have that really succeed. And we always say be coachable, and you guys have followed the system to a T. So rather than us saying, hey, do this, here's what we think you should do, and you saying, well, I don't want to do that, or I don't think that's good. It's good to have that back and forth, but you know, if you're going to join, you obviously want to trust the coaches and follow along. So that's the first thing. Another thing would be being decisive, right? Coming in and saying, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to work harder this, and I'm going to make it work, and not saying, yeah, you know, I'm going to do this, I might try that, I'm going to do this. So you guys were pretty decisive. But then the reason I'm bringing this up is the third trait is being resourceful. And that's kind of the biggest thing with people, is if something goes wrong, a lot of people will just shut it down, close their laptop, and they'll go home. So if your Facebook ad gets shut down twice, it's very easy to say, you know, poor me, why me, and, you know, kind of moan and groan. But being resourceful means you guys said, okay, let's figure out why this happened, right? You guys took that liberty, why did it happen, and then correcting it, and then moving forward. And with PayPal, okay, PayPal did this, so now we need to adjust and do this, right? And if you can do that, not with just this business, but with any business, if you can be resourceful like that, then you can overcome almost any challenge. So that's huge. And now you guys are on your third set of ads with that product, because you guys got disapproved twice, and now you're on your way back. I think you guys told me you guys are like somewhere around 600-700 a day on your good days. Yeah. So you guys are hopefully getting back to that $1,000 per day mark.
Yep.
On one product, and now you guys are gonna obviously try and find complementary products to build out the store.
Yeah,
that's exactly. It's been busy in our other jobs and that sort of thing, but we've got other ideas of how to upsell this and other products that complement and go with it, and other ones we've got to test. We've got them all waiting and ready. We're just going to start doing it. That's what it's all about, testing more products.
Cool. So you guys come in, and within by week five, you're doing $1,000 a day. You kind of replicated that when you had some issues. So I like people to get some value, like to have fun. And so, by the way, we have Miranda, we have Lee, and who else do we have now? Just noticed.
This is George.
George.
Miranda, Lee, and George. All right. So All right, so you guys, so people, when they watch this and they're like, oh, that's great, this person's doing well, but like, what would you tell somebody, even if they never were to join our program, if they're just doing e-commerce, or even if it's a mindset thing and they're just running a business, what's kind of a tip, whether it's ads or product pages or mindset, just something that you guys learned where you were like, you know, really just like clicked, or you're like, this made a big difference for us. Because we want somebody, people to be able to watch this and, you know, take something really good away from it besides, you know, your guys' success and the process you went through.
I would say from my point of view, and it's the boring answer, but read the terms and conditions. Facebook ads terms and conditions. If we had done that in the first place, we wouldn't have gone through what we've gone through. So that's my boring answer.
Okay.
And I guess in light of those ups and downs we've had, like, you just got to realize that's all it is. It's ups and downs.
Yeah.
And if you take the bird's eye view, it's really going to be like little blips in the radar from where we want to get to. So as hard as it was those couple of weeks, like, well, it was emotional because we were really riding hot and then it crashed down and then up again and down. But, you know, you're going to look back in a few months and just go, well, it's just part of starting a business, and isn't it? Just like any other business, you're going to have challenges. So just keep the end goal in sight and keep plowing along.
Keep the mind frame.
Yeah. With your ads, you always want to make sure you're not really calling people out, you know, are you this? And you want to make sure that your product is not anything they would consider, you know, like scandalous, things like that, or your images. And then what you said about the ups and downs is so true. So it's kind of funny because a lot of times I'll talk to people and they'll say, yesterday I had $1,500 in sales and today I only had $1,200. What's wrong? You know, what's happening? And it's kind of like, you know, do you think Walmart or you know, think of your favorite restaurant, do you think every day that their revenue is exactly the same? No, they have days that are, you know, 1500 maybe, days that are 800, days that are 2200. And it's impacted by the day of the week. It's impacted by time of the year. It's impacted by, you know, all that stuff. So, but obviously what you want to look at is kind of, periods of time. So, you know, hey, look, we generally average around X amount and X amount per day. Maybe Saturdays are slower. But that's traditionally, you know, with a business, what you want to look at. I think that's important to keep in mind, because on both ends of it, right? Because if you go from $1,000 to $1,800, that's great, but you need to make sure that may just be like a 1 or 2 day thing. But obviously, as you're consistently scaling, you may see 1,000, then 1,500, then 1,400, then 16, then 18, then 2,000, then 16, then 20. So that's kind of like what you need to look for, you know, as you go. So you guys are on your way back up, and I'm trying to think. We talked about, you know, a tip. You talked about the ups and downs.
Can I just say one more thing on that?
Yeah.
When we were on a down, I had a bit of a freak out, and Lisa said, we're not due for a call until next week, but I think you need a call now. So we organized it. Lee was at the gym and I just sat down for a chat with Lisa, and it went a long way. Just for me hearing that a lot of this stuff is normal, like it wasn't stuff that we were doing or that was personal to us. It was like, yeah, look, sometimes this happens. Or like Facebook had an update last week, which I think affected quite a few people. So just hearing that feedback about what other people go through, and yeah, the ups and downs are just totally normal. Just knowing that it was a normal thing went a long way for me. So I didn't worry as much.
Yeah, and I tell people that a lot. The mindset, and like having somebody like Lisa who deals with accountability, checking in, and also the mindset aspect is huge, because mindset is arguably, you know, one of the biggest pieces of a business, you know, being able to navigate the ups and downs and understanding that, you know, it's not the end of the world and that type of thing. So,
yeah.
So I want to ask you guys said you were career YouTubers. And as we get ready to close up this case study, so if you guys had stayed career YouTubers, and I say this on almost every case study, there's information and there's transformation. And that's not something I came up with, that's something I learned. And YouTube is great, right? We tell people a lot of times when we talk to them, where they email me, I say, hey, look, I don't think this is right for you. If I were you, I would go on YouTube and I would learn more about this business. And I would watch videos and learn about ads and this and that, which is great. But at some point, you know, you've got to make a move, whether it's a coaching program or you just go all out. So if you guys were, had stayed on the YouTube path, what do you think would be different now, like now? Do you think in 8 weeks you would, or do you think you would just be focusing on your jobs?
Yeah,
we would have stopped.
It would have fizzled. We know it would have, because we were getting so confused by all these different things and like being led down the, you know, the next bright shiny thing from all these different people. And although there's a lot of good content, it was
so
a matter of putting
information
together, yeah, and having like a step by step. And then the personalized calls that made all the difference. So if we hadn't done this, we would have left the whole online thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So last question then, for all the other career YouTubers out there who are maybe on the fence about joining our program, or they watch these videos and they're like, yeah, that's great, but you know, what's your advice to them? What would you say that, number one, they need to be prepared for, and number two, what would you tell them if they're kind of like iffy on working with our team?
I'd say first off, be prepared to put in the hard work, because it is a lot of work, and that's what you're doing. It's the only way you're going to make it work is by working hard.
But you're going to work a lot harder if you're spending all that time sifting through random videos as well.
Yep.
Time
and the second is, yeah, exactly. Second thing is the amount of information we got from the every coaching call was, I reckon it was a year's worth of YouTube videos. Every 1 hour call or 20 minute call was a year's worth of YouTube videos we could have watched.
Yeah.
Even the other content that you provide, every video we've watched has been amazing. So step by step, and we've followed the process and it's worked.
Awesome. Well, congrats on your success, because I always tell people this, you guys make us look good, because if you put in the work and you follow along and you are accountable and you get on the coaching calls and all that, you guys made it happen, not just once, but now three times based on getting shut down a little bit.
Yeah.
So I look forward to watching you guys continue to grow, and thanks for taking time to come on this case study with us.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy. Cheers.
All right, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Okay.